From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, our weekly update of news and events from Latin America and the Caribbean, with our reporter from south of the border, Tony Solo, reporting from Managua, Nicaragua. Let's begin, I guess, with the Amazon is on fire. This is not Amazon, the virtual Walmart or whatever, but not Jeff Bezos' Amazon, but the one that they call the lungs of the planet Earth. It's supposedly on fire and burning down, and apparently that's true. It's just that fire has been burning for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, and the fires have been burning for some time this year, and it only came to the attention of the Western corporate media when the extent of the fire became known. There's a lot of speculation around how it started. In Brazil, one very strong and plausible version is that the various interests that want to destroy the Amazon, the timber companies, the cattle farmers, the miners, landowners who just want to shift indigenous peoples from land that they covet.
Right.
All those interests got together and coordinated a series of fire setting incidents to serve their interests, obviously. And whether that's true or not, time will tell. But the fact is that there is above average burning in the Amazon. At the moment, and people argue, scientists, environmentalists argue about, you know, how much more of the Amazon is on fire than would happen in a normal year, because
right.
There are always fires in the Amazon.
Right.
It's part of its life.
That's
as
right.
an environmental resource.
Right.
But the extent what's different this time is because it's happening under this right wing administration of Jair Bolsonaro, and logically his policies favor the very interests that want to destroy the Amazon.
Right.
And he himself has taken a very strong anti-environmentalist line and a very strong anti-indigenous people's line.
Right. And this serves both those purposes. On the one hand, this is a way of an efficient, in one fashion, a cheap way of clear-cutting the forest, the jungle, and it is also a way of driving indigenous people off the land, sort of in the same mechanism that was done by killing buffalo here, that, you know, the people live off of what's on the land. If you burn it up, they go away because they have no way of, right. of living there. So,
yeah, so I think to the extent that one can take coverage by the Western international corporate media seriously, and their coverage of what's happening in the Amazon is right to express concern about what's happening.
Right.
But then beyond that, you have the various uses that they're making of that, and one of those is, as we saw from the comments at the recent G7 summit in Biarritz last week, and one of the things that the Europeans and the North Americans have always wanted to do is to try and internationalize the Amazon so that they can get control over it and have a decisive say in how its resources are used.
Right.
To the extent that Bolsonaro is a very strong ally of the United States,
right.
obviously the Europeans are going to, and everybody will have their own angle on this fire, is what I'm trying to say. They'll all try and exploit it for their own particular reasons.
Yeah.
Before we started the recording, and you were commenting on that aspect from the point of view of the anti-Trump feeling in the United States.
Right. The way it's being played here in the media, for example, you know, Trump is a creature, I'm sorry, Bolsonaro is a creature of Trump and of Steve Bannon. Consequently, he is, and he's burning down the Amazon. So consequently, Trump is burning down the Amazon. And we all know Trump hates the environment and he would build golf courses everywhere if he could. And so Bolsonaro gets, you know, correctly criticized for, you know, his hand in whatever is happening there as, you know, another agent of, you know, of capitalism and, you know, stealing the land and clear-cutting it without regard for the environment. But in a way, he is distinguishable from the last 9 million presidents that they've had in Brazil, outside of Dilma Rousseff and Lula. So, you know, before, this has been pretty much every president of Brazil going back. This is the method by which they turned the Amazon into, you know, cities and factories and farmland and et cetera. So what it does do is allow them to go after Bolsonaro without going after him for the things that the left should go after him for, like he's a fascist. They'll make a collateral reference to it because that's part of the song about Trump, but they don't really get into that because if he's certainly replaceable, and they would like to replace him with another fascist without tainting that word or that concept.
Yeah, I think that's true, Don. There's such deep hypocrisy in the Western media coverage of what's happening in Brazil. For example, they're keeping very quiet about the contrast between the response of Evo Morales, who's actually gone out himself and worked with firefighters in Bolivia's Amazon who are trying to control the fire.
Right.
And he's taken very serious measures, you know, spending a lot of money on very expensive aircraft to try and help put out the fire and take a series of measures. He's coordinating with the right-wing president Abdo of Paraguay, which is obviously also affected because it's right next door to what's going on.
Part of it,
In the Amazon.
Yeah.
But everybody, there's nothing about what a great job Evo Morales is doing.
Well, see, this is the thing, too. I mean, you mentioned it, and this is, I think, the most important point is what you mentioned, which is, you know, this is a battlefield over the sovereignty of these countries, too. This is something that we see play out, for example, with climate change, where, you know, the countries that are the most highly developed, particularly the United States and Western Europe, who have basically generated most of the carbon that's in the air from humans creating the problem, now want to impose on the rest of the world controls over burning carbon and therefore controls over their path to development. In other words, impede their sovereignty and impose a burden on them that wasn't imposed on the United States or Europe when they were at a relative, you know, position of development. And so you're seeing Evo Morales take the bull by the horns and saying, well, we see your problem. It may not be the problem that you see, but we have our own relationship with this environment, and we're going to fix the problem ourselves according to our own solutions that we arrive at on our own. And we're going to do that with people here, regardless of their ideological orientation.
Yeah, and that whole issue of climate justice is another aspect of the deep neo-colonial hypocrisy of the Western media about the way they're covering it, because obviously climate justice is a key, you know, look at what the G7 are offering. They're offering, what did they offer, $22 million?
Right.
To, you know, like utter peanuts in terms of what is needed to help maintain the Amazon as a global resource. And if they... And here in Nicaragua, the presidency who's in charge of Nicaragua's climate policy has been, and the Nicaraguan government under President Ortega as a whole, has been absolutely adamant that the issue of climate justice has to be addressed, and the wealthy countries, North America, Europe, Japan, for example, they have to pay their fair share of what it costs globally to address climate change and protect the environment. But that, and as certainly in the coverage that I've seen of this Amazon crisis in the Amazon as a result of the extensive fires there, that issue just is never mentioned.
Right.
And then but there's so many aspects to the hypocrisy of it, right? And
right.
Look, in Colombia, next door in Colombia, I think it's 150 social and indigenous leaders that have been killed this year.
Wow.
Right? 150. Mm-hmm. Now that gets zero coverage.
Right.
In the Western media. But what is that about? Why are the right-wing elites using their paramilitary gunmen to eliminate community leaders and indigenous leaders in Colombia? Because they want to control natural resources there, and they're perfectly happy to destroy the environment. For example, the very important Chocó area, which is a very important area of water resources, not just for Colombia but for the whole Andean region. They're in a different way to the fire that is in the headlines at the moment. That should be in the headlines too. What would happen? It's just so obvious, isn't it? What would happen in Venezuela if 150 social and community leaders were murdered in Venezuela? The U.S. would be calling for UN intervention within 5 minutes.
Occupation. It's interesting. Are you talking about the hypocrisy of it? First of all, so we see the coverage of the Amazon crisis in Brazil, basically being a way of tagging Trump and looking like it's, and it's green wrapped, basically. It looks like it's environmental concern. The fires have been raging for decades. We haven't read about them until, last week, but that's not a problem. Venezuela, they could really tag Trump if they wanted to. He and his, more really his cabinet people and, his faces there, Bolton and the rest of them, they're going to bring democracy to Venezuelan people. 7 million people sign a petition in Venezuela protesting Trump's policies in their country. We don't see any coverage of that here in the United States.
Of course you won't. Nor will you see any coverage in the Western media of the fact that tens of thousands of Venezuelans have died as a result of U.S. sanctions, which is confirmed by the folks at the Center of Economic and Policy Research, Mark Weisbrot and his team.
Right.
And they've done very solid work establishing that as an indisputable fact. But all that does is hark back to what the West did to Iraq and the 500,000, right, that notorious remark by Madeleine Albright when she was asked, are you not concerned about 500,000 Iraqis dying as a result of sanctions? And she said, it's a price worth paying.
Right. She said, yes,
absolutely unforgivable criminals.
Yep. Yeah, 500, the question was 500,000 children.
Children, right,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's, I just want to make sure that, it was even worse than you're presenting it. If that's possible.
And that's what you're up against. Where was the Western media coverage of that horrific period, that horrific crime?
Yeah.
There wasn't any.
Yeah.
And so... When you see all this fierce coverage, this ferocious coverage of what's happening in the Amazon, you have to ask, well, what's that about? I mean, what's that really about?
Well, I was just perusing some of the Latin American media before to prepare for this conversation, and I noticed that in Latin America, it's being reported that there were dozens of people who died off the Libyan coast, the migrants, trying to get to Europe. Yeah. And it remembered that Gaddafi had warned when Obama and Clinton blew up his country, destroyed Libya, that that was going to happen, that they were setting fires in Africa that were going to drive people out of Africa to, you know, out of desperation to go to Europe.
Right.
And that's precisely what happened. And at the same minute that I'm looking at that, and we don't hear anything about that with Obama or Clinton, I'm looking at the story in Telesur about people at Mexico's southern border, both people from Africa and also people from Haiti, trying to get to the United States. And Haiti is, of course, a long-term project of the United States, driving the people out of there out of desperation.
Yeah, and on which you get zero coverage in the Western media,
nothing,
of course.
Nothing.
And the going back to predictions by people who have been thoroughly demonized by Western media, back in 1992, Fidel Castro warned precisely about this event that we're witnessing in the Amazon.
Yep.
And, you know, and so, and then in the West, nobody took that seriously. Nobody took climate change and the whole series of environmental issues seriously, except for theatrical purposes.
Right.
And so this is what you get. And so the other thing, of course, in relation to Bolsonaro and Brazil and the Amazon, is that there was no outrage. There was no attempt to put pressure on Brazil for the outrageous injustice that's been perpetrated against Lula da Silva.
Yeah, right. Okay. How did we even get Bolsonaro? Well, the guy who the people wanted to elect was in jail on phony charges, and that was to elect a president to fill a spot where the woman who was elected was pulled from office on phony charges, but Trump didn't.
And so, and the United States, and where was the outrage in the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Guardian about all those really disgraceful abuses of Brazil's constitution and Brazil's political order and its justice system? There aren't any, because. But when it comes to something that is of immediate concern to the Western elites and the public opinion that they manipulate so easily from one moment to the next,
right?
Like fires in the Amazon. Oh well, we have to have a serious campaign, a mass media campaign, denouncing that. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't.
Yeah, right.
But
let's get it right so we can actually fix it, though. You know, let's decide that fixing this problem is what we're trying to do, first of all. And secondly, let's work out a way to do that based in reality. So let's start talking facts instead of how do we get this one or that one politically.
Yeah, so and when somebody like Evo Morales, who's been profoundly critical and radically critical of Western policy on environmental issues, when he does it right, when he does everything that a political leader could possibly do faced with the situation of the fires in the Amazon affecting Bolivia, zero coverage, nothing, they don't care. Because their focus has nothing to do with the interests of the people of the region. And they're exploiting it, as you and I mentioned earlier, for their own really mean purposes. But anyway, I'm going back to Lula, and in the context of the Brazilian politics, it may be possible that this crisis that's affecting the region will have a beneficial side effect, and to the extent that it makes Bolsonaro look so bad that even the kind of center-right people that supported him are beginning to relent in terms of the very cruel lawfare offensive been imposed to demonize and isolate Lula da Silva. And because, for example, for the first time from the very start of this ridiculous accusation that was made against him, and the whole completely vitiated legal process that's been used to put him in jail, for the very first time, a member of the Supreme Court in Brazil has said, he thinks that Lula deserves a second trial because what has been done to him hasn't been fair. And that's the first time, and that's a very important kind of crack in the monolithic unity of the Brazilian legal system that has tried to cover up its deep failures in the case of Lula da Silva and other aspects of the... He actually said, this guy, I think his name's Mendes, one of the Supreme Court judges, he said that the Lava Jato investigation has gone too far and has taken over Brazilian justice in a way that is damaging to the Brazilian justice system. That was the essence of his remark, which is absolutely stunning in terms of internal Brazilian politics. And that does mean that... And also more information is coming out thanks to the work of... what's that journalist? Greenwald, Glenn Greenwald, and his team at... I think it's The Intercept, and they and I don't like Greenwald at all, but in here he does seem to have done a good job, if only to satisfy his partner, who's a Congress person in Brazil. But they have done a good job bringing out this material that's extremely damaging to the people that got away with crucifying Lula da Silva in a totally unjust and vindictive, vengeful way, and they've now been there are now there's now audio been published of them making fun of Lula and his family. Lula last year, I think it was last year or the year before, I think it was last year, he lost his mother, he lost his brother, and he also lost I'm not sure if it was his son. He had three bereavements.
Ouch.
In a very short period of time. And these disgusting individuals in the public prosecutor service in Brazil were recorded making fun of him and making fun of and laughing at the fact that he'd lost his family. And so that in a country, in a very strong Catholic country like Brazil, very strong evangelical population in Brazil as well, and that kind of thing does not go down well. And it's making the whole Lava Jato and that investigation look very, very bad. And with every leak that of that kind that Greenwald and his team come out, they're strengthening the case in favor of a new trial for Lula.
Good.
And what should happen is that the existing sentences should be completely overturned and he should just be set free. But we'll see.
Let's see. And made whole. I mean, anyone that's actually looked at I'm saying good, it should happen, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like I'm not being objective, but anyone that's looked at these, they don't even pass a laugh test, procedures and processes, the allegations, the evidence that's presented, and every little piece of evidence of anything that goes on in those trials that they want to present gets presented very, very widely. The whole media, it's like seeing what they do with Trump here. The whole media on Lula, you know, beats the hell out of him. It's all corporate media down there. Yeah. And so...
Sorry, Don?
Well, I'm referring to the corporate media, but that's the bulk of the media there. And they're of one voice. If there were... you know, a flea on his collar, you would, you know, see a blown up picture of it on television for like 9 hours a day to where you could count the toenails on the flea. So,
it's completely shameless. And that kind of coverage, which I know if it happened in Venezuela, or if it happened in Bolivia, or if it happened in Nicaragua, if it happened in Cuba, if that kind of coverage were devoted to one of the politicians that the West supports in those countries, and the justice system would be condemned, the media would be condemned, but because it's always the targets are always people that the West find inconvenient, then that it's all right. And you can see that in Argentina in the case of Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner with the ridiculous trials. Or charges and accusations that have been made against her, all of which to date have collapsed.
Right.
And I think that one of the reasons that Mauricio Macri is extremely. At the moment, there's some trials coming up involving accusations about Mauricio Macri and his family and how they benefited from government decisions under the presidency of Macri.
Oops.
In order to enrich the Macri's family companies.
Right.
And now those trials are happening now. And those accusations are happening now. And I think the reason, and people will say, if, for example, you and I were to say how unfair is the Argentinian justice system is, look what they're doing to Cristina, the right wing will come back and say, oh, but look, they're being balanced because they're going after Macri too. But the reason for that, Don, is because Macri controls the justice system and is likely to get judgments in his favor now. But when he loses the election in November, he won't.
Right. Let's try these cases now for the things I actually did.
Yeah. So that is what's going on, and you can
understand.
In Argentina, if we're talking about Argentina, and that it is astonishing the extent to which the political control and political prestige of Macri seems to be collapsing, in the run up to the elections, and I think they're in October, not November. We can confirm that another time. But the point is that Argentina is in deep crisis as a direct result of Macri's policies. But as you yourself have pointed out to me, whereas I would look at those policies and say, well, they've obviously failed because they've failed the Argentinian people, you would rightly point out, well, they haven't failed. They've done what they were meant to do.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how they're designed. The elections, by the way, October 27th.
All right, okay.
For the president and the members of the National Congress and governors of most provinces.
Yeah, so when you look at... if you look at why are the U.S. Very happy with Macri? Because he's destroyed Argentina. Now, why are they happy with Lenin Moreno? Because he's destroyed Ecuador. And there's increasing poverty in Ecuador. And there, too, you have these outrageously unjust lawfare campaigns.
Right.
Against... now they're going after Rafael Correa himself, as well as various of his supporters, after having completely unjustly... attacked and Jorge Glass, Rafael Correa's he was Lenin Moreno's vice president, but somebody who supported Correa.
Right.
And so what the United States is doing across Latin America, and I think I don't think it's overstating this to say that the Amazon fires are probably part of this.
Right.
What they're doing is they're destroying the ability of countries in South America to carry out the basic sovereign functions of a government. And this is all part of the global corporate attack on the nation, on nation states, and on the, because national sovereignty is the only barrier against global corporations doing what they want.
Right. If you have a global power that you're facing, you know, in your country, for example, there's a global power that's creating problems for you at home. The only weapon you have is your own government, and most likely, at the moment, you face them as an enemy alongside this global power, but at least there's a device there you can try to capture and use as a weapon to battle with this global power. And we saw a resurgence of, basically we saw this effort played out in Latin America with the so-called Pink Tide, and we saw, the way that Chavez and others organized Latin America and the Caribbean to resist, to stand up for their sovereignty and each other's sovereignty, et cetera, that's where the battle was. And so that's where the attack came. And we got to wrap it up there and maybe pick it up next week.
Yeah, okay. And Chevron in Ecuador is a perfect example of that.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Thanks a lot, Tony. We'll speak with you again next week.
Thanks a million, Don. Look forward to it.
Same. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.